on this episode of The Service Station.
It was surreal. I couldn't imagine it just happened so fast. In the blink of an eye, officially on paper, I was a dad. Even though before then I knew, you know, the first time that I held Ava in my hands, at that point, I knew that the connection was there. And for me, that was a really significant, important part to this journey. But again, that November 6th date, you know, in front of the judge, surreal. It happened so fast, and I'm glad that I was surrounded with family and friends.
That's Oscar Lozano from Riverside. He became a father for the first time after adopting his second cousin, a little girl named Ava, who's almost 2 years old. She's one of hundreds of children adopted in Riverside County every year. Coming up, a father celebrates, shares his adoption journey, and also raises awareness for the more than 100 children countywide still waiting for a loving permanent home. We're talking about it right now on The Service Station. Oscar, great to have you with us. Welcome to The Service Station.
Great. Thank you very much for having me, Gene. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, we're excited to have you.
Thank you.
Tell us a little bit about yourself and also how your new daughter came into your care before you adopted her.
Yes, definitely. I'm a 35-year-old single individual. Ava initially was, a dream having been able to start my own family. So, you know, the first time that I was able to really think about having a family was in my 30s. And right before the pandemic, it was late December 2019, I got a call from one of my cousins who was pregnant. And, unfortunately, she suffers from the disease of addiction. And, I was able to step up because she had planned to put the baby up for adoption. And after a conversation with her, I was fortunate enough to, make that agreement with her and just let her know that, thank you very much for giving me the opportunity to start my own family. Mm-hmm. And here we are now, over a year and a half. It's been an amazing time. I wouldn't change it. And I had to foster initially. You know, there's definitely a process that everyone has to go through, meet requirements, home inspections. And really, it was a really thorough process. And I really do appreciate that because it does show the level of commitment that the county has to make sure that individuals and families are equipped to adopt and take care of children that, you know, need families.
And so Ava came into your care when she was an infant, right? She was a matter of days old after your cousin gave birth to her, correct?
Right, right. She was a week old when I first got Ava. It was really fast. It happened so fast. And, you know, being a first-time parent with a newborn, essentially, I didn't know what to expect. But, you know, it's just an instinct that I think we all have as humans. We kind of just adapt ourselves. And so, yeah, it happened fast. She was a week old. And
you actually, before Ava came into your care, you were already looking at becoming a foster parent. In fact, I understand you took several steps, I think. Tell us about that process. How did this all begin for you?
Right. So like I had mentioned earlier, you know, becoming a dad, I knew that was something that I wanted to do. So even before Ava was in the picture, I had contacted the county. They referred me to different agencies.
When was that?
That was, I want to say, probably like early 2018. And, you know, at that point, they gave me a list of different agencies. I researched them online. I attended several informational sessions that they had. And, you know, I ended up choosing McKinley. They're a great organization that has been around for quite a while. They work in LA County and Riverside, and I think throughout Southern California. And so they were really easy to work with. And so I had started the process to do, to meet our requirements. And then I put a pause on that process until I got that call that my cousin was pregnant and she was looking to put the baby up for adoption. And so
the stars kind of aligned.
Everything did. I think the universe had this plan for me. So
Ava is 1 year, 7 months old, and you began caring for her right as the pandemic started. Talk to us about the timing and what that experience was like.
Right. Talk about silver linings in this situation, you know, where a lot of people were missing being outside interacting with their coworkers or just missing out on a lot. My silver lining in this experience, being able to get Ava at that point, the bonding time that was given to me, I couldn't have asked for better timing for me. I was able to be there 24/7 with Ava. I said that it was hard. Initially, I didn't know what to do, but being thrown in it 24/7, you just adapt, and it just really gave me the opportunity for both of us to bond and establish that connection right away. So I was very fortunate.
So let me ask you this. As a Latino man, how did your culture influence your decision to become a foster parent and then eventually an adoptive parent?
That's a great question. And I would say that as a Latino man, you know, family is a really important aspect in our culture. And having to follow an untraditional route in this case, not as popular or as known in our community, really, I think, helps other individuals know that this is something that can be done. You know, yes, normally it's not, like I mentioned, it's not very known, but hopefully me being here and you guys hearing this story does show and tell you guys that there are opportunities to, you know, start families and other avenues. There's so many children that need a loving home. And so, again, it really did play a big part. And I'm just fortunate that adoption and the county have been there to help me in this journey.
And it seems like it would be very significant, obviously, for Ava, right? Because she's going to get to grow up around her relatives and her family and be in the family still.
Yes, it really is. You know, being biologically connected, she is going to be connected to aunts and uncles, grandparents. And that's another great aspect of this whole process for me and for Ava. You know, it's just, we're really fortunate to be able to keep those connections alive.
I got to say hi to some of your family and friends on Saturday, November 6th at Adoption Finalization Day. And that was the moment where there you go into the courtroom before the judge at the downtown Riverside Historic Courthouse. Tell us about the experience that you had there, what that was like to be in front of a judge and to know in that moment that Ava is officially your daughter.
It was surreal. I couldn't imagine it just happened so fast in the blink of an eye. You know, officially on paper, I was a dad. Even though before then I knew, you know, the first time that I held Ava in my hands, at that point, I knew that the connection was there. And for me, that was a really significant, important part to this journey. But again, that November 6th date, you know, in front of the judge, surreal. It happened so fast. And I'm glad that I was surrounded with family and friends to support me. And I'm just blessed. I have no other words to just express the happiness that day brought to me and Ava.
And in fact, as we're recording this podcast, you are fostering another child who's here as we're doing this recording right now. Talk to us about that child and how that began for you, that journey.
Yes. So, you know, again, I have this idea in my head about my family and how I wanted it to be. And, you know, I never wanted just one child. I think children with siblings benefit a lot. And so I was given this second opportunity, currently fostering to adopt again. You know, very similar age group as Ava. I'm just excited going through this process. It is going to be a little bit more of an unknown because it is not a connected relative to me. So this new baby, you know, it's from a random...
It's a placement.
Placement, yeah. Mm-hmm. So I'm just excited. And, you know, whether I hopefully get to that adoption process with her or not, I'm just happy to share love and that I think the baby might be missing if she hadn't been placed. So I'm excited for it.
Excited for you.
Thank you.
And there are people who are listening to this podcast who may be considering whether they want to foster a child or adopt a child. You may have this question that you hear from people. What are some of the qualities that you think are needed for somebody who wants to be a foster or adoptive parent?
I think that the main one is just being able to show kindness and love. If you are able to do that, you know, I think you would be a great person, individual, family, to give the opportunity to another child that might be missing a home, whether it be temporary as a foster placement or a permanent adoption. If you have that, I think every other challenge that can present itself or the process itself, it can be daunting, but it's worth it at the end. I think we have so many children who are in foster care, who are missing their permanent home and that bond with a parent, whether it be, someone like me as a single father or mother and a father. I would just encourage everyone to look into it. And again, if you find it in your heart to, if you have room in your heart to love and show that affection and tenderness to another individual, I think that would be very beneficial for the child.
At this point for you, the veil has probably been lifted on some of the myths of fostering and adopting. What are those? Like, what are some of the things that you've learned that maybe you had perceptions about?
Right.
But they weren't accurate.
Yeah, no, I think one of them was the hurdles and the obstacles, maybe the red tape that would be involved in the process. It's actually a lot easier than I had thought. Yes, there is the process and it's not easy, but you know, if you are diligent and you work and you stay in communication with your county worker, they are very accessible. And the agency, again, that I worked with, McKinley, they are very supportive in making sure that you meet all the requirements. And another one too, being a gay man, it's just a lot of my community, sometimes they feel, well, is the judge or is the agency or is the county gonna allow me to be a parent to a child as a single individual too? Mm-hmm. I think that was another really, in my head, an obstacle that I thought I was gonna face. But here I am, and I can say that they were more than supportive. You know, the county, the agency, everyone that I've interacted with never hesitated. You know, if you are an equipped individual, equipped human being, and you meet the requirements, that really isn't even, I want to say, a factor in their decision making. So I encourage everyone to look into it.
What would your advice be for anyone who's considering fostering or adopting, particularly also those who are single? And maybe they're thinking, I don't know if I can do that.
I would say that you would want to surround yourself with members in your family or friends that will support you in this journey. And I think talking about it with them and just being open to the idea. And again, you know, we have those preconceived notions that, oh, I can't do it because I'm a single individual. I would definitely, challenge you on that. And I would want you to know that it is doable, it is possible, and just have an open heart. Being a foster parent to adopt, it's challenging too, and it's something that at any point in the process, you know, you might have to give the child back to their family. But I don't think it's about maybe long term. You know, live in the moment and give that love to that child when they are in your care. And if it turns to be a final placement through adoption, great. But just know that you are making a difference in a child's life.
I always like to give our guests the last word. So I'm just wondering if there's anything that I didn't ask you that you wanted to share before we wrapped up.
I want to give thanks to everyone that was involved through the different county workers that helped me. Some names I can recall: Alexa, she was my initial emergency placement county worker. The agency I worked with, McKinley, really great organization. They do offer Spanish assistance, so I do advice and recommend everyone to look into them if you are looking at this process of fostering to adopt. And again, just have an open heart. And I hope that more individuals and more families come forward and help our children in need.
Awesome. Thank you so much for coming on the Service Station.
Thank you, Gene, for having me.
If you would like to foster or adopt a child, call this number, 1-800-665-KIDS. Again, that's 1-800-665-5437. There are more than 100 Riverside County children waiting right now for a loving permanent home, including siblings, older youth, and those with special needs. And in fact, some of those children are featured in a traveling photo exhibit called the Heart Gallery, which was just on display in Riverside and Indio at Adoption Finalization Day in November. Coming up after the break, we have a second guest on the podcast. You're hearing from the person who manages that Heart Gallery, sharing with us the stories about these children and how you can provide a loving forever home for them. We're back in just a moment. Welcome back to the Service Station, a place for information and conversation. And part of our conversation centers around children waiting to be adopted. Some of them have waited, in fact, a long time, and they may have special needs. Joining me now, a second guest on the podcast, Ida Roth, who is an adoption supervisor with the Riverside County Department of Public Social Services, and she manages what's called the Heart Gallery. It's a traveling photo exhibit that shines a light on kids who are waiting to be adopted. Ida, welcome.
Right, thank you.
So tell us about these children first off. Tell us, who are they? Can you give us a few examples of some of their stories?
Okay, well, most of these kids are actually kids that have been removed from their homes due to abuse or neglect, and were unable to reunify with their families and now are in need of a forever family. So yeah, we have on our Heart Gallery, we've got quite a few kids now that we're showing. We have Michael is one kid that's on there. He's a 13-year-old boy that is very funny, great personality, loves to cook all the way down to cooking you an appetizer with that meal that he can describe, and loves his Xbox, his friends, kind of a typical 13-year-old boy. Does come from a larger family where he's unable to be placed with siblings and just really wants his own forever family and one that will allow him to keep contact with his siblings.
And explain why a child like Michael would be part of this Heart Gallery. And maybe you could also talk about what the Heart Gallery is, a bit of Heart Gallery 101.
Yeah. So the Heart Gallery, kids that are featured on our Heart Gallery are basically kids that it's a little more challenging to find their forever home based on certain factors. So one, sometimes being a little bit older. So like Michael, we have a lot of older boys for some reason. But we also have other older kids that really want that forever home. We have kids with some medical or developmental challenges that are on there. We also have kids that are in larger sibling groups. And that would be anything probably 3 to about 7, I think, once we had an 8. And with ethnicity also can be a little more challenging. Heart Gallery basically is having professional photographers. They come and they donate their time. They take pictures of these kids and we get professional pictures where they're trying to capture their personality. And so we hope that comes through in a lot of our pictures, because then people that are looking at these kids across the states, they're the ones contacting us saying, hey, I'd really love to know more about Michael.
And do you actually go with, because this is an exhibit, we actually just saw it featured at our annual National Adoption Finalization Day that we had on Saturday, November 6th. Do you travel with that exhibit too and showcase it around the county or even outside the county?
Yeah, so we've done both. Usually we will look at events. I know, like, coming up, there's going to be the tree lighting event in downtown Riverside. We've featured it there before. So we'll go to, like, bigger events, sometimes like soccer or baseball opening days, and kind of take the Heart Gallery, set it up where people can actually see these cute faces. And we hope it encourages people to maybe become an adoptive parent or foster parents. We always need foster parents too, and possibly be interested in these particular kids also. So it's kind of just getting awareness out there that we have a lot of kids that are in need of their forever home.
Do you ever kind of follow one of the stories of these children, you know, from the time that they're on the gallery and featured on the gallery to when they get adopted, and what that experience is like for them, where you actually see the end result.
Yes. So I have, I supervise the matchers of Riverside County. So they're looking for these permanent homes for these kids. So all the kids on the Hart Gallery are within my unit. So we get to see them, yes, go up on the Hart Gallery when we have a family interested and the kid actually gets placed with the family and we see how well they're doing all the way up to finalization. And not at a lot of the finalizations current all the time now, but yes, I've definitely been there for some of their finalization hearings.
What is that like for you and your staff, and also for the children? Maybe you could give us an example of a child who was featured on the Hart Gallery and then was actually adopted as a result.
Yeah, so we've had some great success stories. We had a sibling set of three at one point, very challenging behaviors, just very energetic children. We had the three of them. One, unfortunately, had to get separated from the two just based on some pretty challenging behaviors. He was placed in what we call a group home for a little while. The other two got matched and placed with a family. They were struggling kind of too, mentally, emotionally, physically, but they overcame that. They got adopted by the family. The other little boy, we were still trying to match him with the family. And the family that adopted his two siblings just, you know, couldn't get him out of their head and really wanted to try him also in their family. They already had three kids of their own. So this was going to put a sixth. And again, I mean, he had some challenging behaviors, but they took him in, and his finalization day, yeah, he had the biggest smile on his face, and they had all six of their kids, you know, in their finalization picture.
I can't imagine how rewarding that is for you and your team. I mean, that's what you're working towards, is to see those siblings kept together and see them to have a forever home.
Yeah, and that is the happy part of adoption, for sure, is when you do see those success stories.
And the Hart Gallery is, it's not just an exhibit. It's actually featured online. It's at heartgalleryriverside.org. Talk to us about how children are selected to be featured.
Yeah, so we have, at any given time for Riverside County, we have about 100 kids we're looking for homes for. When we first get a child, we start searching for a home for. Our hope is we're going to find a home within the first month, or gosh, two at the most. And when it kind of extends beyond that, that's when we get the court approval to put them on that Hart Gallery, because we want to speed up the search. We don't want to be looking for a home for them for an extended period of time. So we ask for that open media order. They're able to then go out on the Hart Gallery. We get our photographers to come and do those portraits so we can get some good pictures and put them on there. And again, the majority of the kids on there then are the ones that have the bigger sibling sets, kind of the medical and developmental challenges, and they're a little bit older, which some people think older is four and above. So we do have little kids on there.
How does the Hart Gallery help these children to actually find stable homes or families to help connect with these children? Is it through the families reaching out to the gallery and actually, you know, taking a look at these different profiles and photos?
It really worked. The photographs just work wonders. I mean, to see a child in picture, so many times people are reading about them, but they don't get to see the portrait. And so with the Hart Gallery, when they're looking at the cute face and you hear all different things, you know, oh my gosh, he looks just like all the kids in our family, or oh my gosh, he reminds me, or she reminds me of so-and-so. Sometimes there's just this connection somehow that you would never think of that they get through a portrait. And so that's when they're calling us asking for more information, and we are able to move, you know, forward from there.
And you actually just touched on what I was going to ask you next, which is, if the community wants to learn a little bit more about the Hart Gallery, what would you recommend?
Yeah, so you can go on heartgalleryriverside.org, and it does talk about that. There is a phone number on there that you can call if you want to foster or adopt with Riverside County. We also have our Department of Public Social Services website that has an adoption link on it, too, that talks about how to adopt if you do live and want to adopt in Riverside County.
That's right. And that website is rivcodpss.org. Ida, thank you so much. It's been great to have you on the service station.
All right. Great. No, thank you for having me.
Once again, that website is heartgalleryriverside.org. And again, if you're interested in fostering or adopting a child, please call 1-800-665-KIDS. 1-800-665-5437. That wraps up this episode of The Service Station. Episodes in English and Spanish you'll find on all major podcast platforms like Spotify, Apple, and Google Podcasts. And don't forget, our department is on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and YouTube, all at RivcoDPSS. Thanks so much for listening.